We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
And joining us right now, live from Radio Row in Manchester, New Hampshire, it's Virginia's favorite son here running for president, Governor Jim Gilmore. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Governor.
Thank you. I am Virginia's favorite son. I've got Virginia into the mix here.
Yeah, and thank God for that, right? We need the Mid-Atlantic represented. Well, listen, tomorrow's the big primary, Governor Gilmore, and I wonder if you feel like people are hearing your message. I know that you're talking to everybody. I've seen you in the hotel here, and you were talking to every voter that you can find, and I think that that's great. You're doing exactly what New Hampshire is supposed to be, which is pounding the pavement.
Well, absolutely, and that's why I chose to start my campaign here in New Hampshire. Now, you know, with the Iowa thing, everybody, the press had a lot of fun about my getting just a piddling number of votes and everything. I wasn't trying to get any votes in Iowa. I made it very clear at the debate that night that I'm starting the campaign here in New Hampshire because this is the first primary state, and it's a chance for somebody to reach out to voters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't know how it's going to turn out. We know that we have, in fact, sent material into the households of about 55,000 households here in New Hampshire with a clear and specific message. Will it work? We don't know, but we think I know I'm the right candidate for the people of New Hampshire. The question is, can we get the message out? Well, frankly, the way the mainstream press has been trying to squelch my campaign, I don't know if we can do it or not, but we're going to try.
Well, and you say the mainstream press is squelching your campaign. This is interesting because there's been an ongoing debate about who should be on that debate stage, and I want the media to be out of it. This is not their debate. The media should not decide these things. But you're in a unique situation because you used to be the chairman of the RNC.
I was.
Now, if you were the chair of the RNC and there were, you know, 17 candidates, which there were at one time, what would you have done? Would you have had one big stage?
No, I would have said that the number of candidates, more the merrier, I would have said, as chairman of the RNC.
That would have been a three-hour debate, though, right?
No. There are so many ways that you could deal with this. That's locking you into a certain idea that is intended to squelch candidates. Instead, it would have been very simple. All you had to do was to divide the group of people, the 17 that started, into two panels and just have two different panels to do the debate. In fact, they were doing it anyway, weren't they? They were having an undercard debate and an overcard debate.
But rather than separate them from, like, that caste system, you just drawn lots or something,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. Sure, that would have been easy enough. And, you know, one debate, you would have been on the stage with Chris Christie. Another debate, you'd have been on the stage with Jeb Bush. What's the problem? And the problem is they deliberately tried to winnow the field. That is not the role of the Republican National Committee and is absolutely not the role of the established media in this country to try to manipulate the system.
Now, Representative Gilmore, Governor Gilmore, you have so many titles, I'm sorry. Governor's the better one, though, so we'll stick with that one. Governor Gilmore, the people of the WMAL audience, we're familiar with you, of course. In fact, you were on our station the day before you made it official, the day before you announced. At the time, you said it was because you didn't see any of the candidates fitting the bill to really carry home the message on national security and the free market economy and free trade, the Reagan pillars that are important. You didn't see any candidate carrying that message. Now that you've been in the race a bit, you've been able to see these candidates. Is that still the case?
Yeah, at that time, I didn't think there was an appropriate candidate. Now I've been in it for a while, and now I know there's not an appropriate candidate.
It's worse in your
mind.
Yeah,
it's worse than I thought. And, you know, in fact, we've actually, since I entered the race, things have moved in a very bad direction. Now the Republican Party stands for scapegoating people, for singling people out. based upon their ethnicity, with on the basis of their religion, on the basis of their gender. This is not the Republican Party of Jim Gilmore, and that's not what I'm going to stand for.
Well, you're talking about Donald Trump. That's not the whole party, but he is leading in the polls. What do you make of that? Because you're right, that traditionally that's not what the Republican Party has
and
been.
And I denounced it in Florida at the Sunshine Summit, as a matter of fact, and said that that's not really worthy of the great Republican Party of the United States of America. But we also have seen now that there are not candidates that have any experience in foreign policy or national security. Whereas my fellow Virginians know that not only do I have a degree in foreign policy from UVA, but in addition to that, I'm the only United States Army, I'm the only veteran in the race.
Yeah.
In either ticket, I'm the only veteran that's had any military experience. So what are we going to do? We're going to name somebody to be Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America who never served in the military? You know, how crazy is that? And then, of course, as everybody knows, I also chaired the National Commission on Terrorism and Weapons of Mass Destruction for the United States of America at the request of the Congress. And in addition to that, I was governor of Virginia during the 9/11 attack when I had to suddenly become a war governor and take the steps necessary to protect the people of Virginia. So I have the experience and the background to say what needs to be done. And this is what needs to be done. We have to address the nation-state challenge by building up the military again, adding more ships to the Navy, making sure the Army is refitted, the Marine Corps is in good shape. And second of all, on this international guerrilla war that we're fighting that I have expertise in, we know what to do. Not only special operations people, but also we have to rebuild our intelligence community. Make sure they're not spying on us, but we can do that through oversight, not through disabling the intelligence community, which we need. And finally, you have to fight the war of ideas. That's maybe the most important thing that a president of the United States can do.
You mentioned intelligence and spying, and clearly our enemies are spying on us. We find them hacking into our systems all the time. Do you think the other candidates have really made a point about Hillary Clinton's reckless use of a non-governmental unsecured server? It barely came up at the debate the other night.
Well, back in April of this year, I was the first candidate nationally to say that I thought Hillary Clinton was disqualified from the presidency. I did that on the Luke Russert show. It was stunning to Luke Russert. He almost fell off his chair. But at the time,
you got to be gentle with Lou.
Well, you know? I made this point. I made the point that the next president has got to restore the faith of the American people in their own governmental system. It is dangerously low right now. And Hillary Clinton is not able to do that. She eliminated her emails at the time that she was running a big multi-million dollar foundation. Mm-hmm. And drawing money from overseas interests.
Money from overseas. It's now, remarkable that you can even say that and consider this woman an actual contender for the presidency.
Exactly. So, she really ought not to be in the race, and I think the Democrats are beginning to figure that out. But that isn't the biggest problem. The biggest problem right now is the Democratic Party has careened off to the left. And normal people who would be proud to be Democrats are no longer comfortable in a party that is completely for gun control and elimination of Second Amendment rights, that wants to run an economy that is controlled completely by the government under socialistic principles. I mean, this is just not the Democratic Party of our fathers.
Last question, and I know you raise a lot of concerns about the direction you think the party and the debate is going, and obviously Donald Trump is a big part of I think, the message that you're sending there. But let's talk about immigration for a moment, because obviously it's resonating with a lot of voters. And I think that it's fair to say that a lot of voters feel that our current laws are not being enforced. They're being ignored. The president is rewriting laws on his own without Congress. And they've been promised for so many years that there will be security at the border and that the people who are here illegally will be dealt with in a legal way. They will actually have to pay a price for breaking the law. And you're a Reagan guy. There's a fundamental rule of law aspect of the Republican Party. You know, we are the party of the rule of law.
Absolutely.
There is frustration out there that the Republican Party has not adhered to that fundamental principle that they once stood for.
Well, I don't have any trouble with Donald Trump representing anger and frustration. There is anger and frustration, and that will probably lead to change. Where I go in a different direction is when he attempts to scapegoat people and to take that anger and direct it towards certain people. Hispanics, African Americans, Muslims. This is where we should not be going. But come back to the point. You know me. I'm the former Attorney General of the state of Virginia. I was a former elected prosecutor. I've made my life in the law, and I understand that we have to obey the law. So you asked me a question about immigration. I am not in favor of putting people on boxcars by the millions or setting up special investigative forces to track people down. I don't think that that's going to work. We've inherited a problem that won't be the solution to. But I do not favor a path to citizenship. I think if a person is here in violation of the law, they can't be rewarded by being granted citizenship. But on the other hand, we have to say that sanctuary cities are illegal. We can't allow people to disregard the federal law. And people who break the law who are here illegally are going to be subjected vigorously to the same law that all the rest of
and
us
are. And if they
have
a run-in with the police for whatever reason, and it's determined that they're not here legally, should they be sent home?
Yes.
Right. Representative Governor Jim Gilmore.
Yeah, former governor.
You. Former Governor Jim Gilmore. But you hang on to the title, though, don't you? I mean, they can never take that away from
you. Well, I'm very proud of WMAL. I think they're doing a great job, particularly in Northern Virginia.
Thank you so much. It's great to talk to you, and we're running out of time, and you've got to go do more. You are probably the hardest-working candidate that I've seen here in the last several days in New Hampshire. Well, so good luck tomorrow.
We'll tell our constituents in Virginia. Thank you.